Good morning. Kind of like it when you all sit together, then I don't have to look around. I can just look forward. Wonderful. Isn't this a privilege to be together? You know, it's not the building that's the house of God, but it's the people that are the house of God. We're in the house of God if you're with people who are correctly built into Him. Wonderful. While worshiping, I felt the Holy Spirit said to me, no one can say Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? No one. If you find it difficult to say Jesus is Lord and to say it with meaning and conviction, ask for more of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to try and speak. You know, this pulpit is not just for people who have something to say, but it's for people who have something to say from God. And I feel I've got something to say today. Let's read again. We're going through the book of Acts. We're preaching through it. Kind of strictly chronologically, but we're going to try and go through this. And I want to tell you, it's the most exciting book there is. Well, there's probably a lot more, I'll say it, of the others as well. But it is a fantastic book that tells you the dynamic of how the church was started. I'm calling this the hinge of history. But let's first read. Otherwise, somebody's going to say we don't preach the Bible. Acts chapter 1, 4-8. I'm supposed to do it. And while they were staying, interesting, some translation says, and while they were eating, while staying and eating with them, he, that's Jesus, ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Not many days from now. I don't know. Father, help me to convey this. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. It's a good place to say amen. You will be filled. We have been filled. Who is going to be filled with the Holy Spirit are going to be witnesses. Witnesses. And I've come to realize I cannot be a proper witness without the Holy Spirit. I've come to realize I can hear a lot of things and I can rehearse it and I can tell you what I heard somebody else said. And I can even read the Bible and I can see things, but I can miss it totally if I don't have the Holy Spirit. So let me try and stick to my notes. As I say, we've been preaching through this. You know, David Pawson calls this actually the first five books of the Bible, of the New Testament, the four Gospels and the Acts. He says this summarizes the hinge of history. Everything changed. Today we talk about before Christ and after Christ, and we kind of think that's a small thing, but everything changed during this time. It was a momentous time. It was like 3 years, or you could say all the 33 years that Jesus was on the earth. He came and then he released. And he gave us in the first four books the good news, what it is I've come to do, who I am. And he did miracles and he did wonderful things. And he was talking to people. And I laugh often when I see the disciples, and they just didn't quite get it. He was saying something to them, and then they struggled. They said, what's he saying? What's he meaning? But let me go on with this. He says, the first, this is what the Gospels did. First, they tell us about what Jesus did. There's lots of stories about his miracles, his multiplication of bread, and walking on water, and healing people, and raising people from the dead. Fantastic. He told us what he did. Then he came, the first four books, they told us what Jesus said. He was teaching. He was saying, I am the life. I am the bread. I am the manna from heaven. I am the door. I am the way to life and truth. I am the truth. He said all these things. Amazing. Then finally comes, they tell John, John the Apostle is great in saying this. He told us who Jesus was. It's one thing to see what he did and hear what he said. But then there's, who is he? Who is this God? This man that walks on water. This man that the nature obey his voice. Who is this? And friends, I want to tell you, even after all of that, the disciples still had some battle. I read through this a lot, and I just laugh. I said, you know, in John chapter 14, there's a lot of things. Thomas said to him, Lord, where are you going? Now, this is after the 3.5 years of ministry. Where are you going? What are you talking about? Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. That'll be enough for us. Just show us the Father. We're trying to get what you're saying. Then Judas said, Lord, how come you speak to us, but you don't speak to the world? Then all of them said, in John 16, verse 18, he says, what does he mean when he says, yet in a little while, you'll see me, and then in a little while, you won't see me? What is he talking about? This is all in the Bible. After 4 years, or 3.5 years of ministry. You know, Jesus, when he was carrying the cross, and he couldn't bear it anymore, and he was dying for us. There's a scene in that movie, The Passion of the Christ. When he was struggling and he's lying on the floor, and Simon had to come and help him and pick up his cross. And Mary, his mother, and Mary Magdalene were close by. He looked at them and he said, I am making all things new. They thought the world is crashing down upon them. Everything is lost. He said, no, I'm busy with something. I'm busy with something. I'm making all things new. And they had to still try and find, what does this mean? How is he going to do it? Father, help me to stick to my notes. Huh? No. I like it when you actually read in your own Bibles too, you know, and kind of underline it and make notes and so on. If it's full with all your scribbles after a year, buy a new one. But do it, get it. I think I went through many, many Bibles in my life. But Jesus was telling them, this is now before his ascension, just the night before he was crucified. He said to them, John 14 verse 12, maybe I've got this one there. Yeah. 14 verse 12. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater than these. Well, You're not just going to be staying mere men struggling to understand. You're going to do what I do and greater. Verse 16, he says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth. They were wondering, how's this going to happen? How are we going to understand this? What is happening? He says, I'll tell you. I'll send you a helper. I'll send you the comforter. I'll send you the Spirit who's going to lead you in all truth. The Greek word for that is parakletos. One who stands next to you. One who's with you. Let me read on. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So, but Jesus, you're going to die. And then you're going to go to heaven. He says, no, I'm going to come to you. I'm going to come to you through and by the Holy Spirit that I'm pouring out. I'm not leaving you as orphans. Verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said. You're very quiet. Friends, I want to tell you, without the Holy Spirit, we're all lost. Amen. You say, no, it's without Jesus. He says, yes, of course, it's without Jesus, because the Holy Spirit makes it clear. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you're searching the scriptures. You think in them you're going to find life. But they're speaking about me. But how could they not see it? The Holy Spirit had to come and open their eyes and lead you and show you who Jesus is and who Jesus was amongst them. But this is the wonderful thing. Now Jesus said to them, go and wait. Go and wait until you receive that. I want to say we don't have to wait anymore for 10 days or so, because there's a day when it happened. And that's the next verse I think we want to read. Jesus didn't only promise, but it happened. He came. The Holy Spirit came. And it says, when the day of Pentecost has arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared on them and rested on each one of them. They were together. There were 120 in the upper room. A few of us, Grant and Charmaine and I don't know who else, we were there in that room. They think this is the room where he was, where they also had the last meal, the last supper. 120 of them. I don't know what they did. For about 10 days they were waiting. And suddenly, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together, one accord. I think that's a strong thing. But it was not fire that came, but it was things like fire, like a wild fire. I don't know how to describe it. The Bible says, like as of fire. It came and it was sitting upon them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues or languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. There were 15 different nations there. They came for the feast. They wanted to be there. You know, what happened was actually the reverse of what happened on the day of Babel, Babel, huh? Babylon. The Tower of Babel God said, if these guys are going to continue like this, nothing will be impossible for them. So he scattered them. How? Gave them, he confused their languages. Everyone suddenly had different languages. They didn't understand one another again. But here's something happening. Those 15 nations, the next verse tell us who they were. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. And what were they saying? What is this? We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And I felt as I was reading these things over and over again, I said, Lord, tell me what you're saying. He says, you know, we Christians, especially if you're coming from a Pentecostal background, we make tongues a big issue. You must speak in tongues. I love speaking in tongues and it's good. But that's not the focus here. The focus was the mighty works of God who's being declared by people who've been empowered. People who've been empowered with the Holy Spirit. That's what they were talking about. And they heard the disciples speaking. Now, there were like thousands of them because eventually 3,000 responded. How many were there? Probably more than 3,000. Probably 5 or 10,000. This was no more in the upper room. Because they wouldn't fit in there. They seem to have gone out into the square, into the temple courts, I don't know, around the temple. And they were speaking in tongues. They were speaking in other languages. And they were declaring the mighty works of God. And people got convicted. People were cut to the heart. People got changed. They got to this place and they say, what shall we do? What shall we do? Because they were convicted. Actually, the word this morning that came, there's going to be a time of final judgment. Friends, it's coming either soon or later, but it's coming. But people suddenly were convicted where God is. I kind of become aware of my unworthiness. I become aware of my sin, of my alienation, my inability. I'm just a man trying to struggle and I'm weak and I'm worried even like the disciples. How is this going to happen? Lord, what are you talking about? After 3 years, we still don't quite get it. He says, don't worry. Wait, the Holy Spirit has come and it's going to make it clear to you. He is coming. You see, this is how the church was born. This is what Peter was saying. He says, in the last days, you know, we're talking about the hinge of history. You know, when the second half of history started on this day. In the last day, the Bible says, I will pour out my spirit. In the last days, you don't have to be alone anymore. You don't have to just try and struggle on your own. Jesus came. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He's the healer. He's the deliverer. He is the one by whom we will be saved. But you need the Holy Spirit to understand that. You need the Holy Spirit. I was convicted even this week. I said, we cannot be witnesses without the Holy Spirit. We cannot say Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit. I can stand there with empty words repeating somebody else, but there won't be a conviction. I need the Holy Spirit to do that. So John 14 verse 16, I hope I've got it there. Yeah. He will give you another helper and he will be with you forever. You'll be an advocate. You'll be a counselor. You'll be a helper. You'll be a comforter. You will be that parakletos, the Greek, the one who stands beside you, alongside you. He's with you. But Jesus actually says, it is to your advantage that I go away. That is amazing. How many of you have wondered sometimes, you know, if I could just have lived in those years when Jesus was on the earth, I would be a different person. No, no, you won't. Many others were there. It didn't do them anything. They actually were antagonistic. They were enemies. It was when the Holy Spirit came upon people that they were convinced. They were successfully convinced. He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. He will come and he will do it. I tell you, I'm convinced that we need more of the Holy Spirit. You're going to say to me, Kali, yes, but we've got the Holy Spirit if we're saved. Who of you are saved? Who of you are not saved? Think about it. If you're saved, you've got a measure of the Holy Spirit. There's no question about it. If you've said yes to Jesus, if you say, Lord, come into my life, come and take over here. I'm a sinner. I need you. Come into my life. That's good. You receive the Holy Spirit. But Jesus said to them, and this has happened to them before, you already got the Holy Spirit. There in John chapter 20, he says to them, blew over them, and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, why did he say again? Why did he say, go and wait until the outpouring is coming? Why does he say, you will receive power? That's when the power... You cannot be saved without the Holy Spirit. But when you are saved, you need more of the Holy Spirit. You need more. I remember 64 years ago, 65 years ago, I was 10 years old. I said, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Be with me. I know he's been my companion. I know he's been with me, and he's in me, and he's for me, and he's alongside me, and he's guided me, and he's spoken the word to me. But I tell you what, I need more of the Holy Spirit. I cannot be a very successful witness. I can't be a reliable witness. I can't be bringing glory to him as we sang so wonderfully this morning without more of the Holy Spirit. How about you? Do you need more? Do you realize that you need more? Do you realize your need of the Holy Spirit? We often emphasize the Father a lot, and that's great. We focus on Jesus a lot. But sometimes the Holy Spirit, we don't talk a lot about him. Because he's the one that exalts the Father. He's the one that exalts Jesus. I'm telling you, we need him. Some people say, you don't worship the Holy Spirit. I say, well, he's divine. He's one with the Father. He's one with Jesus. He is omniscient, he's everywhere. Why did Jesus say, it's to your advantage that I go away? Because Jesus, as a Son of Man, was one person, and he can be at one place at a time. But Jesus, as the Son of God, filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible says in John chapter 2, he had the Spirit without measure. I wish I can say I got the Holy Spirit without measure. I need more of him. I need more of, I want to be like Jesus. I want to have it with him without measure. And this is where we should be. That we want him. Because he can be everywhere, in your room, in your business, when you're flying in an aeroplane, when you're at home, when you're in church, whatever you're doing, he can be with you forever, always. You can always talk to him. But we need him. We don't, you know, Michael Eaton said to us something. He says, you tell me, you got the Holy Spirit? And I say, yeah, well, I accept it. I take it by faith and I have it. Michael Eaton said to me, you say you've got the Holy Spirit? Well, where is he? Show me. He said it. Where's the Holy Spirit in your life? Where's the power of God in our lives? I include myself there. I need more of him. I want more of him. You know, Paul, when he spoke, and we're going to read the book of Acts, it's a fantastic book, how the church changed the world in a few short years. I don't know, they said 100 years, but even earlier, 30 years, 40 years. The whole of the known world heard the gospel and were changed. They said not everybody was saved, but there was sufficient faith and numbers of people, Christians on the earth at that time, that it changed the whole course of history. It changed governments. It influenced leaders. It changed systems. We're gonna study this, and that for me is very exciting. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians, my message and my speech were not implausible words of wisdom. Have I got it? No, don't think so. I didn't come with human words and kind of personality, force of personality. I came to you in the power of the Holy Spirit so that your faith will not rest on the wisdom of men, but it will rest on the power of God. Oh, God, help me. Peter said, now, here it is. Now what happened? How long have I been going? I just gave the introduction now. So here's the message. This is, Peter stood up. I think I've got that here. Yeah. In Acts chapter 2, verse 17, he stood up. He says, friends, you're wondering what this is. He says, this is what the prophet Joel prophesied. And he said, and in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Wow. See, when the Spirit comes, then things change. When the Spirit comes, we begin to see the kingdom. Jesus said that to Nicodemus, yes. He says, you will first see it when the Holy Spirit, when you're born again, the Spirit kind of makes your spirit alive. And then you'll begin to, then you'll be born again. Then you'll be entering in the kingdom. Without the Holy Spirit, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Then you'll begin to experience the life of Christ, the life of God, that is by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then I was hoping the young people who normally sit there would all sitting here. He says, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. What does that mean? Sons and daughters will suddenly come alive. You see, if we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, the culture rules our mind. The culture takes us over. And before now, we do things like the world's doing it. We waste our lives on the lies of the internet. and of the things that's happening. But he says, no, your sons and daughter, when they're filled with the Holy Spirit, they're going to prophesy. They're going to see the future. They're going to have power to overcome the spirit of the age. And they're going to be witnesses, and they're going to be power. Man, I'm telling you, I'm asking you, where, when, in the Western world, I'm all over the place now, I know. But let me tell you, from the nation of Israel, from those who were filled with the Holy Spirit, there were, I think it's 127 Nobel Prize winners. From the Muslim world, who are like 2 billion people, 1.5 billion people, there's been one or two. Where the Holy Spirit comes, it changes nations. It gives vision. Musicians, artists, scientists, engineers, people filled with the Holy Spirit begin to see something that they can do with their lives that's going to bring glory to God. People not filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if this is true, but I heard years ago in Zimbabwe, they made, in the days of Rhodesia, they made a survey. They studied the performance of kids in high school who were filled with the Holy Spirit and those who were not. And they said those who were filled with the Holy Spirit was like 10 or 20% better performance than those who were not filled with the Holy Spirit. There's an enablement. There's an enlightenment. There's a creativity. There's a power. There's something that happens that young people begin to believe in the future. They're not overcome with fear and insecurity and what's going to happen to us. If you look at the world today, it's easy to just cut your wrist and say, hey, let's all give up and die. But not for those who's filled with the Holy Spirit. Your young men, your older men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Your older men will dream dreams. I tell you what, for fathers who's filled with the Holy Spirit, they will be fathers in this generation. They will be the shepherds of this generation. They will say, no, that's not the way. This is the way to go. I'm saying, oh God, let us be a church like this. Let's be a church of men and women, young men, young girls, young boys, filled with the Holy Spirit. He says in another place, he says the little ones, the kids will lead them. That's only what happens when people are filled with the Holy Spirit. Who is sitting here with a little baby in worship? Is it your sister's daughter? You should have watched the face of that little child when we were worshiping. I was standing there. I said, Lord, she's drinking it in. She's drinking in. There's life here. There's Holy Spirit life. There's God life here. Friends, we undervalue the importance of being filled. I think I've said to you earlier, we should all walk around so stort, filled. How do you know something is filled? It runs over. Otherwise, it's not filled yet. It's kind of half measure. I preached once in the days when there was pints and quarter pints and quarts, 2 pints is a quarts bottle. I know you know nothing what I'm talking about. So Ben and I do, yes. And I was saying, Lord, I don't want to be a quarter bottle. I want to be a quart, 2 pints. Make me a full, make me 2 pints full. Make me full, filled with the Holy Spirit. That I can make a change in my generation. That I can change the atmosphere where I go. Where there's something of the creativity of God, the force and the power of God will go in me and through me, and I will be in him, and it will not be about me. It won't be my personality and my poisonality. It will be the power of God working through us and instructing and influencing people. You know, when Paul and the apostles came into a town or in a city, it was said to them, those who turn the world upside down has come into our town. Amen. You missed a good place to say amen. We have an absolute need of the Holy Spirit. It's not just a little thing. It's not a small thing. For Jesus said to them, God, wait until you've got it. You've heard it. Think you're beginning to grasp. You're not fully grasping yet. You've got it. The fact of the matter is, we are all a bit slow in getting it. Does it make you feel better? It makes me feel a little bit better. Some of us, those guys turned the world upside down. There's a YouTube clips saying how the 12 apostles ended, where their lives went to and how they went. Not Judas, but they replaced him with Matthias and Paul and many others. Go and watch this, how their lives went to Egypt, to India, to Arabia, to Spain, to England, all over the known world. They couldn't be stopped. They couldn't be stopped. And nothing was too hard for them. You know, the Holy Spirit empowers you to bear all things. The Holy Spirit enables you to go through deep trials and in a way not be worried about it. When Paul was in prison and he wrote letters to them, the guys were saying, oh, shame, Paul, you're in prison. He says, oh, don't worry about that. God is working his way, even with me being in prison. Even with their legs in stocks, what you call those things. They were singing psalms and praises and glories to the Lord their God. Amen. Sometimes we get it in a flash. Sometimes it takes a while. But I rest on that scripture in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. He says, every time when you see the Lord, when the veil is lifted, you are changed from glory to glory. Every time. You know why I come to church? Because I see a little bit more of him every time when his word is preached. You know why I have my quiet time in the morning and I pray and I don't just read. I say, Lord, I'm going to read, but please open this to me now. Please explain to me what you're doing. And I see a little bit more. I change from glory to glory. That's why the Christian life is the most exciting life there is. We don't know. He says things that has not even entered into our minds is what is prepared for us. I love all Christians, but I pity those who said, well, I've had enough. I am now at the place where, good, thank you, I've got it, I'm going to go on with my life. Friends, this is a journey. It's a journey of being more filled and more filled and more filled every day. I'm waiting for the young people to come up with creative things, with wonderful things. When I lay hands on young people, I'm going to speak to them on Friday, that I just want to see from this place that preachers and missionaries and doctors and engineers and musicians and writers and whatever else will come from us. Yes. Can you believe for that? Can you pray for that? Why do we keep on praying on a Tuesday? Why do some of you think you don't need to come? You need it. I tell you, you need it. I need it. I cannot sit. I prayed this morning. I said, oh God, my years are going on, and maybe I'm going to become stubborn like old men. Maybe I'm going to become unteachable and grumpy. Who's over 60 here? Please say, raise your hands. Please don't get grumpy and old and stagnate. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled. Be filled more. Begin to be fathers. Begin to be influencers where you are. Amen. I must stop. There's a lot more I need to say. You see, Nick Hardy spoke to us 2 weeks ago, and I wanted to re-preach his old sermon. Because if you're filled, if a church is filled with the Holy Spirit, they live like that, when Nick spoke about. Romans chapter 12. The many-membered body. I've got it on here. Maybe I'll just show this. The one another verses in the Bible. How we support one another. How we devote to one another in brotherly love, preferential respect, affirmation and encouragement, unity, acceptance, instructions. We are competent to instruct one another. We serve one another in love. We carry each one another's burdens. Do you know that, I get very tired if I have to carry somebody's burdens by myself. I get very tired. I say, ach nee, ek wil nie nou weer weet nie. But when the Holy Spirit comes, when the Holy Spirit works in you, that's where you say, well, I can carry your burdens. Because the Holy Spirit enables me to do it. And so forth. Inspiration, all of that. Don't you want to come and make an altar call? Can we have the music? I want to know from you who. Who are you? Recognize that you need more of the Holy Spirit in your life. How many of you really desire this Holy Spirit to work in you and through you and live a life of victory and overcoming and glory filled by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that will make Jesus alive? Let's sing and give ourselves to God.